Our book, Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, is available for purchase in bookstores everywhere. Polarity is a universal law. It can't be avoided. It's like gravity. It's all around us in our homes, our work environments, our communities, and our countries. If you misdiagnose a polarity as a problem, you can be left trying to solve the same issue over and over, never finding a sustainable solution. That's why polarity intelligence is an essential competency leaders can't afford to overlook. Having this awareness and knowledge compels us to share it with leaders like you around the world. Start your journey toward becoming polarity intelligent today. Get your copy of Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, wherever you get your books.
This is the True Leader Podcast. Today, our special guest is Molly Ellenberg Friedland from In Stride. A timely conversation we have about how businesses and organizations are taking a new look at workforce development. Don't miss it.
Welcome to the True Leader Podcast. I'm Dr. Tracy Christofferson.
And I'm Michelle Trosett.
We are life and business besties, leadership coaches and mentors, and polarity intelligence experts. We're the authors of Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, and co-founders of Missing Logic.
We are here to help high-achieving leaders break through leadership norms that cause them suffering at work and home. If you're looking to elevate your leadership, increasing your productivity, effectiveness, and impact, and manage your health and well-being, spend quality time with those you love, and live your best life, then you are in the right place.
Our goal in this podcast is to equip you with new ways of thinking and practical and tactical strategies for succeeding at work and thriving in life. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of personal and professional development so you can reach your full leadership potential, create a life you love, and be what we are calling a thriving, resilient, and unstoppable or true leader.
If you are ready to learn and laugh a little, let's get started.
Welcome to the True Leader Podcast. This is your host, Tracy.
And Michelle.
Woohoo, here we are.
Here we are.
In the awesome, awesome studio today, having lots of fun interviewing people.
Yes.
Doesn't get much better.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It's a lot of fun.
We've said it before, we'll say it again. One of the things we love the most is we get to meet awesome people.
We do. And we did a really wonderful interview today. What a lovely person.
Yes.
Yeah. She's just really great. I love Molly and I love the work that they're doing at In Stride. And we had just a fabulous conversation about upskilling and supporting the workforce and the talent out there. And so it was just really enlightening. I learned so much.
I did too. And to me, she also demonstrates the significance of leading with passion, because she's definitely passionate about what she does.
Yeah, she loves what she does, which is really important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it benefits everybody that they touch.
It does. So thank you, Molly. And I'm going to introduce her to you, and then we'll get to listen to her yourself. So Molly Ellenberg Friedland, she has focused her career on expanding access to excellent and equitable education. She started her career as a ninth grade social studies teacher through Teach for America, where she then went on to hold a variety of fundraising and partnership leadership positions with the organization, culminating in her role as Vice President of National Corporate Partnerships. During her tenure, she played a pivotal role in building innovative, impactful partnerships that drove outcomes for students, Teach for America, and its partners alike. As Group Vice President of Corporate Partnerships at In Stride, she leads In Stride's healthcare and financial services practices. Building upon her work at Teach for America, which impacted learners in the pre-K through 12th grade space, she is grateful for the opportunity to work with the forward-leaning organizations on employee-led education programs that provide life-changing post-secondary educational opportunities for employees while also driving business outcomes. Since joining In Stride in 2021, Molly has significantly contributed to the company's growth through the addition of new corporate partners and thus its ability to help more learners advance their careers and avoid student debt. So without further ado, here is our interview with Molly.
Welcome to the show, Molly. We're so, so excited to have you join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here, and especially in your beautiful new studio.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, we're kind of partial to it.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that we wanted to talk with you about today, Molly, is really, you know, how leaders in different industries can support their employees with, you know, career path development and really using a strategy called upskilling. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about why that strategy is so important, especially now as organizations are trying to recover from the COVID pandemic?
Yes. Thank you again for having me. I will try to contain my excitement because I get very excited speaking about upskilling and career development and pathways and really being able to unlock the potential of each and every employee. Tracy, I love how you even started the question of placing the importance of upskilling within an uncertain world and rapidly changing world. On previous episodes, you've spoken about VUCA, right? Volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. And in this rapidly changing world, individuals and companies will need to rapidly evolve alongside it to be successful. And so because of that, there are many reasons why I think upskilling is important. But the three I would highlight for you today is, first, in the immediate term, it has the ability to help address critical talent shortages. So whether it is tech talent in the financial services industry or allied health roles in healthcare, there is just a lack of talent supply for key high need roles. And so all the companies that we speak to have the option to either buy talent or build talent. Well, it is much more cost effective, generates greater ROI, and is better for your employees if you are able to build your own talent. And upskilling is a primary mechanism through which organizations can do that. The second reason it's so important is a little bit more forward-looking and really helping folks future-proof. Given the rapidly changing world, learning agility is more important now than ever for organizations and for individuals. So everyone, myself included, if we take AI, is going to need to learn how to integrate it into our day-to-day. There's not a single person that will not be touched by AI in some way. So that is a universal upskilling that will be required for every worker. Simultaneously, organizations are going to need to figure out what roles could be made redundant or reduced as a result of AI. And if you're then sitting on that talent, how can you upskill or reskill that talent into high need roles? Because you already have them there. And so we see that a lot in our financial services, right? If they're lowering the numbers needed in their call centers or in the actual branches, how can you then reskill that talent into tech where you might have difficulty hiring? And then the last reason, but definitely not the least, is it's the right thing to do for your business and for your employees. I find, and what gets me so excited to work at a place like InStride is it truly is a win-win. You're able to drive business outcomes. We see demonstrable ROI for every single one of our partners in upskilling, whether it's through increased retention, increased internal mobility, increased engagement, productivity, right? Any metric you can look at, we see demonstrable results in ROI, while at the same time giving employees what they want. 74% of Gen Z and millennials, per a McKinsey study last year, are willing to leave a job if they don't feel invested in or don't have advancement or skill development opportunities. So you have the opportunity to meaningfully advance your employees' careers while also advancing your business outcomes, which, in the words of one of our partners after our initial meeting with them, turned to their C-suite and said, "Why wouldn't we do this?" And that's how we feel about upskilling as well.
Yeah, I can certainly see why. Yeah. I love these three reasons. And the ROI is just so evident, right? Just so evident. And especially with employee engagement right now, right? Like it just is, like you said, the right thing to do. People don't necessarily want to leave their workplaces, right?
Yeah.
But they will. Right. If you're not investing in them, if they don't see the potential that sits there. So I can really see the value in this. That was a great explanation.
Yeah. Thanks, Molly. It's so important. And I loved your example of AI and upskilling, because we've just recently did a podcast episode of that. We totally agree. Mm-hmm. It's a great example of what's happening now for everyone. But can you give our listeners some other examples, what you mean by upskilling as well?
Yeah, there are two that I want to share. Okay. And I'll first ground it in going back to the ROI. Any education program that we are developing in tandem with a corporate partner is driven by the business objectives. What is that person trying to solve for? Because we deeply believe education can be a key means to helping solve for that. So there's one large medical device company that we work with that had three primary outcomes of a partnership. So the first was to build their own pipelines. There wasn't a clear pathway between somebody who's working on the manufacturing or plant floor into leadership, right? There's no step-by-step, here's what you do. And so they really wanted to address that. Secondly, they are an employer of choice. They're a talent destination. They like to be on the cutting edge of benefits, and they wanted to continue to do that. And it's really important to their employee experience. And lastly, accessibility was really important to them when they think through DEI and ensuring diverse representation at every single level within the organization. And they had some commitments they made that they wanted to be able to follow through on. So what the upskilling then looked like to address each of those was a multi-pronged solution that first started before you can upskill. You need to identify the skills that someone needs to have first. And a lot of times companies as a stand-in, right, or it's oftentimes just sitting there in job description templates of a bachelor's degree is required. If you were to really push yourself, there are a significant number of jobs where you could hire skills first. That bachelor's degree might not be a requirement for entry into that role, and it actually is serving as a significant barrier. You are leaving talent on the table who might not have had access to a bachelor's, but actually has the skill set and mindsets you're looking for. So we worked with this company to, we call it in-skilling, but in layman's terms, it's to decredential 35 roles. There were 35 roles we were able to identify that we could remove the bachelor's degree and focus on what are the skills that are important to this role. And then guess what? Give those skills through education options through the education program that we created. So that was the first piece of it. And then the second was what we call our career education path. So really creating what that linear pathway could look like for someone to go from the plant floor into leadership. And then aligning that, I think oftentimes where we see a missing link, like the missing logic is, okay, even if I'm putting out the steps, what education is aligned to that, and how do I easily partake of that? And so we embed that all together in our career education paths. And then the last piece is making people aware of it. Oftentimes, you know, these programs live in the bowels of an internet system or on page 36 of an employee handbook. And so how do you make people aware of these programs so that they're taking advantage of it? And so the end result, when you wrap that all up, was a 59% increase in promotions at this company that they saw as a result of this program. And 85% of employees, even those that didn't participate but heard about the program, having a stronger view of their employer to their talent destination piece. So that's a broader example, a quick one. Sorry, I told you I get very excited and passionate and can speak a lot about these, but a very specific, more surgical one, pun intended, is in healthcare. One of our large healthcare partners just didn't have enough OR techs. And they were actually paying close to $200,000 per year in agency for a single OR tech. We were able to work with them to implement a surge tech program where for half the cost, we created 15 new surge techs. And for those surge techs who were coming from the front line as patient transport or in the nutrition department or EVS, which is healthcare speak for a janitor, they were able to go from a $15 per hour salary to a $22 per hour salary. So these are some examples, smaller and more macro, of how we've worked with organizations to upskill in ways that unlock the potential of their employees, but also align to key business needs.
Wow. Those are great, great examples.
They are. They
and
are.
Look at Tracy and I. We're both eager to talk about it. Well, what I love about it is it's really tapping the capacity within the organization. And it's being creative in it is bachelor's degree, it is education, and there's other ways we can really achieve the objectives of the organization and kind of spread the knowledge in a different way. So I just really love that creativity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's really great. And so one of the things that came up for me with my polarity lens is, you know, is the balance between customization for the organization and standardization. So is there a combination of those approaches that you apply?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. And I think one of our, and I love even the terms you use, customization and standard versus, we can think through tailoring, right? Or taking elements that are standard and then the last 20% customizing. And we try to fall somewhere in between there. Okay. Our approach is to really go in. Each organization is different, right? Even if you've seen one healthcare company, there are different flavors of the challenges they might be wanting to address through a program or goals they're hoping to achieve. So we spend significant amount of time asking a lot of questions. Probably our folks get question overload because we're deeply trying to understand that organization. We're digging into their data to see what's working, what's not working, understanding their current education ecosystem and how do we augment that and not supplant it. So we spend a lot of time on the front end to really get crystal clear and be aligned on the value prop. What are we trying to do together? And what does success look like? And within that, we found there are some core elements that most programs will have because they make sense, right? So a broad education offering, so access to debt-free learning, some sort of career education path, so some sort of linear pathway we can set up to really support frontline workers. But the flavors that takes is where that customization and tailoring comes in. Mm-hmm. So really making it aligned to the specific goals of that program, and they are all different. So every career education path we do is customized to each of our partners and how we combine the elements or think about other levers we have to pull, like the dependent benefit. Mm-hmm. If a learner, if an employee doesn't want to take advantage of the educational offering themselves, they have the ability to confer it to a child or a spouse. That's really handy if you're a healthcare organization who has an aging nursing workforce and you're trying to retain them, and you can retain them another 5 to 8 years while their dependent is going to college. So these are all the things we think about that we then pull together. So we do have core offerings, but how we pull them together is mm-hmm. customized. And then we also look to innovate and customize on the edges with our partners as well to meet core needs if we don't have an existing offering.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. That's great. I love that. I love that. So, you know, as I just indicated, and as you know, we work with leaders, mm-hmm. right? And we're helping them to really become polarity intelligent and create polarity intelligent organizations. And that's having a both and or polarity mindset, leveraging healthy relationships and meaningful dialogue. All three of those components, right, mean polarity intelligence. And I think the thing that's kind of also coming up is the combination of innovation and tradition, right? So that's a polarity that appears to be evident in this strategy. And so can you tell us a little bit about how you, in your organization, you support both like traditional education as well as this innovative upskilling component?
Yeah. And I deeply appreciate the whole concept of polarity and intelligence and the both and the making space for the both and. Because when you think about spaces that are highly polarized right now, education is one of them. And so we really try to strive to have the both and. And I think that applies to all three of our stakeholders. If you were to map InStride stakeholders, it's our higher education partners, it's our corporate partners, and it's our learners. And in each of those, we're balancing tradition and innovation. So with our higher education partners, higher education is ripe for innovation, right? So there are key challenges that every institution, big, small, you know, Ivy League or not, that are facing. And so we're able to work with them to really bridge and innovate that gap between learning and what actual companies need to lead to higher outcomes. We're then able to bring them large quantities of company-funded learners, and they're getting really high employment outcomes on the back end because it's all been tailored to the needs of the corporate partners. On the other piece I touch on for higher education is we deeply believe in the importance of degrees. In this space, there's a lot of polarized talk around just skills first hiring or just degrees. And we think it really has to be a both and. Data unequivocally shows the importance of degrees, both for the learners and our economy. For learners, you get significant wage benefits if you have a bachelor's versus not having it. And we even see it in unemployment, where most recent Bureau of Labor and Statistics had a 2.2 unemployment rate for those with a bachelor's, where it was 3.5% for those with some college and 4% with those just with a high school diploma. So it is meaningful for the individual, but it's also meaningful for our economy. Korn Ferry had a study that by 2030, they anticipate America will be short 6.5 million college graduates that are needed to propel our economy, which others have found will be about $1.2 trillion in lost revenue. So again, it's one of those, it's right for the learners and it's right for the organizations and the economy, but it needs to be made more accessible, which I'll get to on the learner prong. So that's how we think about tradition and innovation in higher education. When we think about it with our corporate partners, as I alluded to in my previous response here, we really want to augment existing programs. Most companies in the U.S. have put a lot into their education ecosystem, right? They might have their own corporate universities or training programs. They'll have partnerships with local universities. And we don't want to upset the ecosystem. We want to come fill in gaps and accentuate the ecosystem. And so key missing pieces that we see are oftentimes the link between education offerings and investments in companies tied to actual business outcomes, and the ability to actually track spend and ROI of these programs. And so that's a key piece that we're able to come in and innovate around while still honoring the traditional pieces that might be in place. And lastly, for the learners, we want them to have access to education. That's the traditional piece. That is truly, we believe, what everyone should have, equitable access to an excellent education. We also know traditionally there is so much friction built in for learners in corporate workforce development programs, especially for those on the front line. So that can be everything from awareness, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times frontline's not even aware of the education programs, even if they are, if it's a traditional tuition reimbursement model and they need to go out of pocket to pay, that precludes a lot of people who can't afford those upfront costs. And even if they can't afford it, if they're thrust into a big learning system that has 300 options, it can be really hard to identify which of these will actually propel me in my career. What do I even want my next step to be? So how can we curate those offerings, curate supports provided to those employees so that we're maximizing participation and maximizing their success in the program? So those are how we think about blending together tradition and innovation among each of our stakeholder groups to ultimately drive better outcomes for all.
Yeah, well, there's obvious benefits to both, right?
Yes,
to having both. And I love how you said that, like, you're especially in the corporate area, just trying to fill the gaps, not, you know, just where are the opportunities to strengthen both what is being done traditionally and what is being done in an innovative way. So I love that. That's great. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that you provide upskilling for some of the soft skills, you know, so relationships, communication? Those are things we know are critical to the success of organizations and of employees and the talent, right? But it has kind of been the soft skill, so to speak, and not necessarily emphasized. But I think we're seeing a change in that as culture becomes more of an issue in organizations. So share a little bit about your upskilling when it comes to those.
Yeah, I love that question. I agree. It is increasingly important. I think it's always been important. I think people are seeing the importance of it. And we think about tackling it in three ways, I'd say. So first is just in our offerings ourselves. So we do have some short form courses, you know, on voice of the customer or conflict resolution that learners are able to access. And it's also why we think degrees are important, right? An industry certificate gets you the hard knowledge or skills required to be an HVAC tech, right? Or be a surge tech. But degrees really help on your critical thinking and your judgment and your research and all those other soft skills. So we do think that's going back to tradition, those are pieces you get in a traditional degree as well. So we do have the educational offerings themselves. We then embed them actually into those career education pathways I mentioned. So whether it's a healthcare system looking to upskill someone, you know, right out of high school, first to be an MA and then all the way through to nursing leadership, there are the hard skills you're going to need and the certifications and licensure requirements. But there are definitely soft skills required in all of those roles, especially if you're bedside, right? The same rings true in retail if you're trying to bring someone from the floor into a management role. There are going to be soft skills that are important there as well. And so that's where that customization piece comes in with each of our partners, where it's not just identifying what are the hard requirements that actually might be state mandated in the case of healthcare or within your business, but actually what are the soft skills we want that individual to have as they're progressing in their journey that will add to our culture, add to the customer experience, and so forth. And then the last, where we've been getting an increased number of requests is we often get the ambiguous, help us unpack leadership development or executive training. And so we've actually started a key service offering we have is helping unpack that. Because when we ask the next question of, great, we'd love to, what does that look like for you? That's where oftentimes people aren't able to articulate it. So a big piece is actually working with our corporate partners to unpack, what does it mean to be a leader here? What are you looking for in your next generation of executives you're building? And how do we piece that out? And typically then, as we're, you know, pulling pieces out of it, we're hearing things like communications. How do you clearly and concisely communicate to a room of executives? Things like presence, executive presence, right? Being able to negotiate internally. These are all things that we're able to peel apart and then either pull things off the shelf Or in some instances, we've actually created customized leadership development training focused on those soft skills. So I'll leave you with a story, which is we work with a large manufacturing company who wanted to support emerging general managers. And so we spent significant time embedded with them to really look at what makes a successful general manager based off your current crop, what's going well, what do you wish they had more of? What are some key skills we need to identify? And so we were able to identify some of those soft skills along with three key things like being able to drive change and transformation, being able to manage finances, and being able to lead operations. And we worked with our academic partners to build a custom, almost mini MBA program for those emerging general managers that's very tailored to the culture and needs of that specific company. So that was a lot coming your way, but those are some of the ways we think about soft skills.
Oh, those are wonderful.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. So important, right? That balance too. Okay. So now we're going to ask you a mystery, couple of mystery questions pretty soon, Molly, but we got a little mystery fact we're going to share with you right now. Tracy and I love hockey. So my question for you is, based on where we currently are in this complex world that we're living in, ever-changing world, where do you see the hockey puck going in the next 1 to 2 years? And, you know, what will leaders really need to focus on when supporting their employees during this time?
Yeah. I love this question. One, I lived with the women's hockey team in college, actually, and I'm married to a Minnesotan, so this feels very pertinent. So I would answer that twofold. I think where the hockey puck is going is that I think this will be table stakes for everyone. I feel like we are at the leading edge of thinking through strategic workforce education programs. I think in a few years' time, every organization will need to be thinking about this way for a few different reasons. One, to where we started, the business objectives, you're going to need certain, your workforce to be unlocked in new and different ways. And you can't just get rid of everyone and hire all new people because that conflicts with the need for profitability, which we're seeing, right? So you need to grow, but do it sustainably. And so you do that by unlocking the power of your current workforce. Increased benefits to be a talent destination, right? Just like the first few firms that offered health insurance and that grew. So we at InStride deeply believe, and I personally believe and hope that we will see more and almost every company adopting a more rigorous and strategic education program that drives better outcomes, both for the learners and for the organizations. The second way I would answer that, keeping with the hockey terminology, would be to lengthen the size of the rink. I think if companies are looking 1 to 2 years ahead, they're not looking ahead enough. So just a certificate alone could take 1 to 2 years to complete. So in the healthcare example, sticking with that surge tech, it will take you about a year to complete that. So if you have a shortage today, you really should have been planning a year ago. So we're still going to be playing catch up. Degrees can take even longer. They can take a working adult on average 4 to 5 years to complete. So we really need to be looking ahead 3-5 years down the line to understand, given the changing world, what is my company going to need from its workforce? Where might we be, you know, shifting away from to? And then how can I start proactively planning for that? And that those are conversations that we are excited to engage in with all of our partners.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there are so many shortages, right? People should be on it.
Yes.
And it's going to get worse, as you've pointed out, right? In the statistics, it's showing us there's going to be continue to be a decline and a loss of talent, right? Yeah, and the opportunities are there.
And it's another polarity too, short term, long term, mm-hmm, right?
Exactly.
And there's been so much just in the last, you know, the last 5 years, 10 years about strategic planning. Used to be 10-year strategic planning. We backed that way up, and now it's almost, you know, you got to do both.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, it's just been so wonderful chatting with you. Now we're getting to the mystery questions.
Okay, I'm excited for these.
That's good. Most people are sweating it out, but they're really not hard. We just like our listeners get to know a little bit about you as a person,
yeah,
in addition to what you do professionally. So that's why we ask them. It's kind of getting to know the true you. So here's the first one. We know that you love podcasts. So our question is, what is your favorite podcast, of course, other than the True Leader podcast?
Yeah. I do love the True Leader podcast. There are two, I would say. One, I've always loved and have been an early adopter of This American Life. Hands down, love it, can transport you. I'm deeply fascinated by people, their stories, very curious, ask a lot of questions, why my job works out for that, because I get asked a lot of questions. And so I just love hearing and being transported weekly into the different lives of folks. So This American Life is my longest standing favorite podcast. When I am, driving and kind of mindlessly tuning out, I also love Smartless with Will Arnett, Sean Hayes, and Jason Bateman, which is them just chit-chatting with mystery guests each week. So that's my kind of mindless tune out one.
Oh, wow. Great. That's awesome.
That's really wonderful. That's awesome. All right, here's our second mystery question, Molly. If you were to live in another country, what would you pick and why?
That is a great question. My mind is taking me to the countryside in Europe, and I think I'm going to go in Italy, Tuscany. I really like the community feel. I'm a community person, even though I live in Washington, D.C., the area I live in has a very tight community, and there would be something so nice of being part of a small village and a beautiful landscape that would make me very happy.
All right. I love that.
That's a great answer. Yeah.
Let's just start a new podcast called My Tuscany Life and go do it.
There you go.
Retirement plan, so catch up with me in, I don't know, however many years.
Oh, you've got a lot to do.
So this has been delightful. We're so glad our paths crossed. I think the work that InStride is doing is so important right now. And we look forward to staying connected. We see a lot of polarities in the work that you're doing. And I just really learned a lot. And it's something that we know is important. But to hear your examples was really powerful.
Yeah, very, really, really great examples. And I think it's just all of all the potential that sits with what you're doing and for the individuals, right? And it's just so important to strengthen our workforce, to strengthen the talent, to give them all the opportunities that they can possibly have. There's so many that don't have access to education, formal education. So I think this is just a really incredible opportunity for the talent in our workforce. So thank you for InStride for what you're doing and supporting that.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity. As I said at the beginning, I can go on and on. I'm deeply passionate about this. And Tracy, for the reason exactly what you said, my whole career has been focused on expanding access to education and driven by the belief that potential is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. And that drove my work at Teach for America, a nonprofit, and my work here at InStride, and will continue to drive it. So I am grateful to you all for the opportunity to speak about this. And wish you all the best of luck as you continue your book tour on polarity intelligence.
Wow, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And for all of our listeners out there, we appreciate you so much. And if you really enjoyed our session today or any session, just please share it with others. It's really what helps the True Leader podcast grow and helps us to bring more awesome guests like Molly onto the show. So please share and please subscribe to it as well so you don't miss any episodes. And if you want to see that beautiful new studio that Molly referred to at the beginning of our podcast, watch us on YouTube. So check out our YouTube channel, and we also show our podcast on there as well. So that's it for today. Until next time, stay safe and healthy, and goodbye.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.